Welcome to Creating Cashflow for June 12th, 2023. Beth is a cashflow tiger, really. And you've hired extra help with your, she's a lawyer and a performer, and she's hired extra help with her cases, but realizing you might be spending too much. So do you have a follow-up to what we talked about?
Yeah, so it isn't that. What it is basically I'm thinking, well, the person working for me isn't as effective as I'd like her to be, so I'm going to try something else, and realizing that it's an uphill battle with training no matter who I have, and that the actors I've hired don't even have the free Microsoft Office on their computers because they usually use Macs. So I've already given them software. I share my Dropbox platform and Adobe PDF, but I'm trying to have an organized PDF of exhibits, which I've given them the material for that. And then I want an exhibit list, which I usually am able to edit in Word, but it seems like a struggle to, you know, I was having trouble with this person who didn't really seem to understand how to set margins in Word. So I was having to make those corrections plus some language usage errors. And now I have people who like don't even have Word. And then, you know, because this person I hired said, well, I thought I started a list, but it disappeared and I don't know where I saved it. I said, I don't understand. Don't you just type a list and then save it? Why is that so hard? But I guess I'm making certain assumptions about knowledge bases that people should have that are not universally applicable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why a lot of job applications have things like you have to be proficient in Word, or you have to know how to use Outlook, because they don't want to have to train people on the system. They'd rather just hire somebody who already knows how to do it. You know, like if I was hiring someone to help me with like design or whatever, I'd be like, you have to know Canva already. You have to, or know Pages like I do. It's like, you have to. I don't want to pay for the learning curve on that. So do you feel you're going to have them learn it, or are you going to hire somebody with?
Well, I had actually hired two part-time people on contract, and I asked the second one if she could use Word, because she actually runs the office of the acting school where I'm studying. So I figured, well, she must know how to do office things.
Not necessarily.
But anyway, she knows what Word is, but she's basically saying, well, the Macs no longer come with Word. So she'll try to find it. And the thing is, I've already paid for all this other software, and I don't know if I really want to pay for people to have Microsoft Office and to train them in how to use it if they don't know how.
There's so many people out there who know how to use it already.
Right.
So what help do you need from me? I mean, it sounds like you
understand
the problem.
I guess just trying to figure out, you know, I mean, I was trying to make things more efficient so I don't have to do everything, so I can focus on the lawyering things. And I guess trying to figure out how to do that. Now, you know, I've already paid extra money on adding people to my office systems. And I don't know whether I can get a refund on Dropbox if I don't have four users, but, or just reassigning, having some people do some things they can do, and then just assigning the other things back to the people I was working with before, because at least they know how to use Microsoft Office.
Those are some options. Also going on other list service like Fiverr and Indeed and those kind of things, and looking for someone with law experience who knows how to use Office.
Right. I mean, I could hire somebody from Upwork for that, but I really wanted somebody. I need somebody that I have access to my Dropbox files, and I really don't want to share that on a contract basis. I use that for translation services.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess it's just a question of allocating tasks. I mean, if this person who was working already can at least put things in the right place, then I could have my other paralegal just organize the file, because I was having some trouble with her putting things in the right place.
So what if you took 90 minutes today and just sat down and said, I'm going to reallocate these tasks?
Well, that's what I was trying to do. That's why I asked the second person if she could do Word, because she did a great job one task of researching publications, because I need to prove that my clients have had their material published in major media or reviews of them in major media. She did a great job of that. And she, you know, she was an English major, even though she went to medical school and then decided to be an actor. It was crazy. But she was an English major at a good college. So I figure, well, she should be able to do that part of it. And she said she'd try to find an old version of Word. I mean, once it's in Word, I know you can upgrade to a newer version of Word.
So just for what I'm hearing, I definitely think keep going on reallocating the tasks so the right people are doing the right things so it becomes easier for you. And in the future, just be careful. I assume she could do this. Don't assume. You have to test people. You can give them assignments and say, can you?
Well, it's basically, it's a contract basis. And that's basically what I'm doing. I always do, like I've had other people do this with me, where it's basically a working interview. I'm not on the hook for any kind of permanent employment or benefits. It's just, you know, I'm going to try this. And if it doesn't work, I'll have to try
something
else. That's
how you do it.
You know, and I can always drop people from my software and add new people.
Excellent. And another thing for everybody listening, if you do have an assistant or whatever, and you decide, I no longer want to work with that person, you go in and change your passwords first. And then you tell them that you're severing the arrangement, but you have to always protect your stuff. No matter how wonderful they are and how much you love them, you change all your passwords that they have access to first, and then you tell them they're no longer. Because people get crazy sometimes when, or I should say not crazy, that's, I don't mean to use that word lightly, but people get sensitive and resentful sometimes in unpredictable ways when you rock their world, like saying, I no longer am going to employ you in this way. So do that first.
Yeah. I mean, basically what it is, I'm assigning access to platforms like Dropbox and Adobe to certain email addresses. Once I revoke that access, they won't have access.
Yeah, that's great. And all do that first before you let someone know you are severing working with them.
Right.
But you're going in the right direction, Beth.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get an efficient business going.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes
It is hard to get the right people in the right places.
Yeah. Jim Collins, who wrote the wonderful book, Good to Great, he's like, you have to get the right people on the bus, and then you have to get the people on the bus sitting in the right seats for the whole thing to really start working smoothly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could have a great person, but just in the wrong or assigned the wrong set of tasks.
Yeah.
But that's you're doing it. This is how it's done. And sometimes it looks kind of messy and feels kind of messy.
It is messy. And I guess I just feel like I'm wasting a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, you have to, that is something you have to keep in mind. You have to, because sometimes the money is what makes you pull the trigger of like, I've got to make this decision now because I'm just hemorrhaging cash. So definitely, you know, and trust yourself that you're going to make the right decision, and then you're going to keep pivoting. But thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Lydia. So Lydia, Cashflow Kitten, who specializes in the less sexy sides of voiceover, like e-learning, corporate narration. So congratulations on your victory. You wrote, my mindset around creating cash flow is starting to shift in exciting ways. I'm making decisions for my business by thinking, what is the simplest path to earning money? Or how can I start from where I'm at? As a recovering perfectionist, that is a big shift. And it is a big shift. Yeah. What's the simplest path? How can I make this easy? How can I start from where I'm at right now? Yeah, all good. So you have two questions. The first one is, I'm beginning to reach out to funnel clients, people who might know people who would hire you. I've already reached out to those who had an intake form for voice actors, and now I'm moving on to the ones who had an email actually listed. And keeping in mind all I'm learning in the cash flow course about marketing, do I structure the email to lead with the sizzle by focusing more on them and their particular client pain, or do I keep it short and sweet, sticking to the voiceover basics? Here's my demo. Here's my website. Here's my password. Good question. Good question. So let's talk about that. You can unmute yourself. So I'm assuming if there's a cover letter, there's a resume that goes with that or some sort of here's my stuff.
Yeah.
So you definitely don't want it to be super repetitive, but the cover letter is a chance to show your personality, show that you know exactly who they are, and to highlight something that they might otherwise kind of miss about the resume, usually as a whole of what it says about you. Mm-hmm. So can you give me an example of what's the position or work that you want to do or what do you want to communicate to this funnel client? Like, here I am,
ooh,
you run an e-learning business. I do e-learning. Like, is that it?
So they're like either corporate narration, like explainer video production companies who work with their clients. And what I'm kind of positioning myself as is someone with the background in acting who can bring empathy, can bring like conversational, because that's the big word, who can make it sound human, connect, can do that on time, you know, tight deadlines. And I guess kind of like putting my work with Netflix and things like that at the forefront, since big brand name.
Yep. So how have you been thinking about, you definitely want it to be short and you definitely want it to be sweet.
Yeah.
You have about four paragraphs, basically like, hey, I know who you are. This is why I'm contacting you. Here's my credibility. Here's how you can contact me or see my work. Mm-hmm. That's the basics. So as far as, and by paragraph, I mean a sentence or two.
Okay.
So when you're reaching out to like a production company like that, what do you find out about them that you can convey that's like specifically like, ooh, I think
we're a good match.
Yeah.
Some of them, like there's one who sounds really cool who focuses on nonprofits or on very exciting, like they're a B corporation themselves and they work on things that they think are meaningful. There's other ones who do very artistic types of animations. Some of them, like on their website, they'll be like, oh, we love being quirky. Like we're the oddballs and I'm an oddball. So that makes sense. Some of them, their videos, they don't have much about themselves, but their videos that they've worked on are all on. And you can kind of see if they're like very sleek or if they're, whatever the opposite of sleek is, but in a good sounding way.
Like crafty.
Yeah.
So that's what that first paragraph is for. Why did they catch your eye? And then you highlight, you know, it struck me, the style of your videos and the sleekness. And I just appreciate that so much. Or the crafty or the, you're mission driven, like you're really focused on this. And that's something that resonates with me. Just sort of like, I know what you're doing.
Okay.
Specifically. And this is what really caught my eye and why I thought I might be able to contribute to the type of projects you do. Cause that's the request. I would like to be paid to contribute to the projects you're doing. I like the projects you're doing. I specifically see the type and I think we'd be a good fit. Second paragraph. The thing I can bring to the table is, you know, a voice that has a real human connection that feels whatever they sort of need, whatever you're identifying. Like, I've noticed that you, or what I love about your videos is that often the narration is really warm, or, you know, very clear, very, you know, human and conversational, definitely not boring. And that is something I know I can deliver for you with a very quick turnaround time. Third paragraph is when you get to who you really are. First, it's like, this is what you do. I see it. I like it. Second paragraph is, it seems like you need this. I have that. Third paragraph. I've worked for, you know, I'm comfortable working for big brands. I'm a seasoned voiceover artist, blah, 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 blah. Fourth paragraph. Here's where you can see my stuff. Link. Thank you. You know, but you have to make the request in there. So the second paragraph is where you say, you know, it seems like this is what you want, this kind of texture to the voice people. And I think that I can definitely bring that with a quick turnaround time. So if you're hiring and need that, I wanted to let you know I exist. So the direct request, for a hiring needs to be in there. Not just like, love your stuff. I'm a voiceover artist. Bye. Don't let them have to make the connection, even though we, you know, the connection is kind of obvious, but you still need to state it.
Okay.
Then you're, you know, history, you know, my resume, as my resume shows, I'm comfortable with these brands and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that clarify?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you just follow that template, fill in the blanks for every one, and then
send it off. I love it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Thank you.
Yes. Good, good, good. I'm so glad you're doing this. And then the second question. So you're asking about LinkedIn. In addition to moving your voiceover business along, you applied for a few jobs that sounded interesting. Most of them are through LinkedIn, and my profile reflects that the type of jobs I've applied to are generally reflects what types of jobs you've applied to and are generally looking for. However, I know a lot of voiceover actors use LinkedIn to source leads and continue connections with people that they have met and worked with. Is there a way to combine my main title and work history there so it's reflective of all of me, or is it better to pick one and focus and let the other one fade away? So I'm not that familiar with LinkedIn. So can you explain to me what's
going on?
Yeah, like what you're concerned about.
So there's like, at the top, you know, there's your name, little picture, and then there's whatever title you want to give yourself. So it could be voiceover artist, or I could put it, you know, I've been applying to jobs that are largely like project coordinator, and I've done producing and project coordinating. So would it be that? And then I could go into the work history and do I want to lead more with like the voiceover work that I've done, or do I want to be more reflective of like the jobs that I've held in the past.
Mm-hmm. And what would be your concern about sort of blending those two?
If it would make either side view me as lesser than.
Mm-hmm. And then is there a way on LinkedIn to separate yourself and give you two profiles, or do you have to choose?
I don't know. It's not a words are hard. It's not a like site that I'm 100% familiar with. I kind of have like a general understanding.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the opinion, just from the bigger picture perspective, if you are coming from the point of view of, this is not a problem that I happen to do two separate kind of things really well, and I'm going to tell you about both, like it's not a problem, then I think you attract people for whom it is not a problem.
Hmm.
versus you putting both of them out there and just being I don't know, this isn't going to work and it's going to confuse people and blah, 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 blah. It's like, if your energy is like, I don't know, but for me and my life and what I want to achieve, I'm going to put both out there and that's not going to be a problem. That's actually going to attract somebody. And then your job is to frame it or spin it so that it makes sense.
Okay.
And for you, it's like, you know, I'm a person whose brain is strong on both sides. Mm-hmm. On the creative side of my brain, voiceover, this is how I use that skill set. But I'm also, without using the word blessed, but I'm also, you know, grateful or whatever. I'm also, I also have a robust left side of my brain. And that's where the project manager in me lives. And that's where, you know, the skill set of being organized and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 live. Sometimes I do work that blends the two, and sometimes I do work in each area. Either way, love using my brain. Like not artful, but you know what I'm saying. It's like if I was way back when I was an actor and an organizer, and I was trying to use LinkedIn to like, oh, I don't know, I want organizing jobs and acting jobs. I want people to know both. I would just be like, yep, I do this. And I'm also have this skill set that just allows me to do this. And I love doing both, you know, and they each help one another. Mm-hmm. So I'm a really detail-oriented, organized creative. And when I'm a project, I'm a very creative, outside of the box thinker in terms of project manager. Yeah. So if that's what you're looking for, that's what I've got, kind of thing. You just don't make it a problem. You sell me on how I would be lucky to have you as a project manager because you're such a creative thinker, and how fortunate I would be to have you as a voiceover artist because you would get shit done.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't. And then you can kind of think, well, if I didn't have those kind of organizational project management skills, how might that hurt me as a creative? You know, I am not a creative who's going to get lost inside of project, who's only going to focus on hitting the creative notes and not the technical details of deliverables. And on the project management side, is I'm not just a check the boxes linear thinker. When there's times when we need to pivot, I can do that. When there's times where we need to use a budget more creatively, I can do that. I can make it work because that's what I do as an artist. Your job when you're applying for work is to come with a leadership energy about yourself. About you, this is the way you would be fortunate to have me. Instead of, what do you need? What do you need? Oh, I hope you pick me. I'll just morph myself and make it work. It's like, no, this is who I am. This is what I bring to the table. If this is what you're looking for, you would be an idiot not to at least interview me.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, yes, I call that spin, and it is spin, because I could also spin the opposite story about why someone should absolutely not hire you because you're split in two directions and you wouldn't be, you know, focused on what, like, yeah, it's fiction. Spinning is picking the elements of your story that make it sound great. Because why wouldn't you do that? And it's all true. Everything I just said about you is accurate, and you can deliver on that. So you're not building yourself up to be something you're not. You're just taking what are the strengths about the fact that I do these two things and I'm doing them simultaneously for money right now. Mm-hmm. And what's great about that? and let's just focus over there.
Yeah.
And so that when you go into a job interview and the person on the other end, on the other side of the Zoom or the table is kind of, they're not trying to like poke holes in your story. They're just testing. They're like kicking the tires. They're like, well, what about this? Well, what about this? And if you're able to sit there and go, oh, well, here's how I don't see that's a problem. Here's how I don't see that's a problem. Oh, here's what I learned from that. And here's, then they're like, wow, she's really comfortable with herself. Mm. And then the only question is, do we have room for her at the price that she wants? Like, is this a good fit? Not, is she worthy?
Mm.
That's not the question. They're just asking questions to make sure it's a good fit so you can sit there confident and comfortable and go, I'll just answer whatever you have to say. Because yeah. I've already thought about it.
Oh, I love
why that. I'm strong for this position.
Awesome.
That's what your cover letter is about. It's like, I get your company and I see what you need and I feel confident that I could probably deliver what you need. And here's some proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is both of all that so helpful.
Okay. Really good questions too. Yeah. So I'm sure no one else took any notes.
No.
Yeah.
Rolled awesome, your eyes Lydia. All time.
Is that good?
Very good. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay. Liz Abbott is a cashflow tiger. She's an amazing voiceover performer and dialect coach. Good to see you.
Hello.
So you wrote, I feel like I understand the concepts of sizzle and steak when it comes to individual clients, but I'm struggling with how to create better sizzle with funnel people. Funnel people, again, are people that you are reaching out to, not so they will hire you, but they might have people they know or audiences they talk to who might want to hire you. My temptation is to try to convince them of my value by jumping into the steak. No, you don't understand. I have all these years of experience and all this stuff, and this is what I do. Yeah, yeah. How can I better come across as calm and confident, especially during negotiations? So you heard a little of that just now with Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a specific negotiation or scenario you can give me about where you're like, how do I approach? Or what is my approach?
Yeah, so I put things on hold for a while. Mm-hmm. To deal with some personal issues, which I'm still in the middle of, but I'm feeling more ready to jump back in. So I had coached at Leslie Kahn before, and then they had asked me to come back and we went back and forth with negotiations. So I guess I see them as funnel people, but also I see them more as it's a partnership where we're trying to decide what to do. So the last thing that they said to me was, we can pay you less than we did in 2020 and we want a 50-50 split instead of 70-30. And I was like, but I'm doing all the work at home in my own space. You want me to do this? You're not even giving me physical space to do this. And anyway, I just sort of was kind of at a point when they sent that I just went and shut down and was like, I'm dealing with personal stuff. So they had wanted a May class. And now I'm like, okay, looking at this again, what can I realistically see? And I'm looking at the email that was sent and it was basically, people that teach our other workshops have a 50-50 split. And I know a couple of years ago when I did this, you helped me see that it's like, no, I'm a master teacher. This isn't just one of your workshops. This is a special opportunity. I feel like I'm not as great at saying, no, you don't understand. It just feels snooty. And anyway, I don't know. I'm trying to partner and I've had people contact me, but then it doesn't follow through. And it feels like I'm kind of backtracking into the, oh wait, but I'm good. Like, me trying to credentialize or prove that I'm worth what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe that comes from me feeling like I'm my business has slowed down and I'm not like, well, if you don't want it, too bad. It's harder to do that when I feel I really need the money.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. So let's talk about this. I forgot to do my little phone blocky thing. So hold on. We won't be interrupted. So the first thing I want to say is that if a person or an organization is paying you, they're your client.
Yeah.
Whoever is cutting you the check is your client. So in this case, if you were to do a workshop with Leslie Kahn, and they're cutting you the check, they're your client.
Yeah.
And okay. They're also a source of a funnel. They're mm-hmm. also a funnel because you have then access to their students mm-hmm. who sign up for the workshop. So they're a hybrid. But funnel people, just by the strict definition, as I say it, is just people who pass you on to their people. And their people may become your clients, but they don't actually ever hire you. That's the strictest definition. So you've got like a little hybrid situation. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing about negotiating. You have to know what your leverage is going in. The more leverage you have, the more you can sort of kind of not control, but sort of really dig into the negotiations, and the less leverage you have, the less leverage you have to make things go your way. Very often, I suspect when other teachers have been like, okay, well, I'll take the 50-50 split. It's because they're going to hopefully try to take the people in this class and have them purchase other things as well. So they're like, I'll take a little bit of a loss up front for access to these students and try to get a few of them to pay for my next thing or to become a private client with me. So they see that as marketing. Basically, I'm doing this class as marketing. I'm getting paid a little bit for it, not as much as I'd like, but I'm taking it as marketing. Versus I'm doing this class because I want to make income doing this class. Mm-hmm. And that's what the 70-30 split was about. It's like actually, you know, making some money from it. So you have to decide where you're coming from on that. Because, and then the other thing is, what gives you a little bit of leverage in situations is if you're like, well, if they say no, I'm just going to go to this person and then this person and this person and then this person. Like, you're just going to move on. I'm going to get another client over here. I'm going to get another funnel person over here. So the more you feel that you've got some muscles built in the area of finding other opportunities, then you get to kind of pick and choose which opportunities you're going to take and which you're not. Even if you haven't earned a dime yet, even if this is your first time out, if you're like, well, this is what I want, and I'm going to keep going out there because I think it's fair and I think it will work and somebody will want it on these terms. If you are sent, now sometimes things happen. The Great Recession is a good example where the market changes and you're like, oh, okay, well, I will take what I can get now because you just sense the market. But that needs to be an accurate assessment of the market. It can't just be like, well, I don't know, so I'm just going to take the breadcrumbs. It's like, well, that might be necessary, but it might not be necessary. So when you get, that's the other thing about having an additional source of income, especially for artists, like Lydia has, you know, clients or a job that then she gets to be more choosy about what she does. Performing wise or how she pursues that because the bills are being paid from another source. But when we get into scarcity mode, either just in our heads or in reality and in our heads, then you lose the leverage. It's just like, I need money. I need it now. I'll do whatever they want. And there's no shame in being there. I've been there. Everybody who's entrepreneurial has been at times where it's like, I name it, because I'll take it because I need the money now. So there's no shame in that. But I want you to make sure you're making these decisions based on kind of the facts of the matter versus just your fear.
Mm-hmm.
Facts, not fear.
Which is data, why I backed way off and was like, I'm not going to do this right. Because I felt like all my decisions were out of fear. And that's why I took that time and I took this part-time job and I got myself more centered. So now I'm coming back to this and going, I'm just looking at it again.
Yeah.
And I do feel like the leverage was there before and now not so much because I'm working with someone who wasn't there when I taught before. And I'm like, it's not fresh on people's minds since that was before COVID. And so it's like, everything's shifted for them too. I know that.
Yeah. And probably why they're doing the 50-50 thing is they need money too. Like I get it. Circumstances have changed with this particular source for you. And the other thing I wanted to say, it'll come back to me. But so what do you feel like you want? Oh, this is what I wanted to say. This is really important. When you do make a decision, and I'm not just talking to you, Liz, this is for everybody. When you do make a decision of, I'm going to accept the terms of this offer, you have to make that decision, also making the decision, and I will shift my mindset. So I am enthusiastic about taking the terms of this offer. You should never take terms where you're going to show up and be resentful and I'm not getting enough, and because that just oozes out of you as a vibe and people smell it and they're just like, oh. So if you decide to take an offer, you have to decide to work on your mind to be like, nope, I know why I'm doing this. I feel it's a good decision. Onward. That has to be the energy for this stuff to really work and resonate with people. I don't care what, there's no shame in taking any offer, but you shoot yourself in the foot if you don't get your mind right around it. So all of that said, now let's dig into the details of this. So what are you feeling? Like, do you see an upside in doing this workshop with their terms 50-50?
That's what they said, but I'm trying to figure out maybe they could do even 60-40. I was just looking at what I make as a private, when I'm doing private coaching, I feel like I need to make as much doing a class. A class is more work for me than a one-on-one thing. And so
it sure is.
Why am I going to teach the class so that I can make less per hour or per session than I would private coaching? It just doesn't make any sense. And what they have, what they had suggested just pulls me way below that level. And
yeah. If you think about all the hours you'd use preparing for that, all the hours you'd use teaching that. So let's say conservatively 30 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatively. What if you took 30 hours and was just like, I'm going to devote 30 hours to finding more private clients and making some money in that area? Because it's easier and it's more lucrative than the 30 hours spent doing this class. How does that land with you? I'm not prescribing it. I'm just saying that's an option.
I think that could be okay. I think I'm needing funnel people. I'm finding funnel people for coaching, but they tend to be people that, I guess they're not the funnel people that I want, because they're people that know people who want my services but can't pay my rates or wouldn't be willing to pay my rates.
Right.
So
what have we talked about in the past in terms of possible sources of funnel people for you?
Coaches that coach other stuff.
Coaches that coach other stuff. managers.
Yeah, managers and agents. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of starting over. So yeah, I put Tiger on there, but I'm just, that's.
You put
cash flow Tiger, but I just am the Tiger. I don't know. I'm the Tiger that's lying on the ground in the trap. I'm just.
Sure.
And sure. I've talked about this before. I'm just frustrated because everything's just kind of not moving. And I got this part-time job so that I could move stuff forward, and it's still just sitting here. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing?
Okay. So this is a really good opportunity to talk about how the mindset relates to this. So here are the facts as you see them. Okay. It feels to you like you're starting over, like you need to create some momentum, right? And you wish you were, you know, it wasn't, you weren't at this point. You're like, how many times am I going to be at this point kind of thing? There's a little bit of exasperation there. Understandable. So a little bit of exasperation. You're a tiger lying on the ground. Just being like, what the hell? Okay. So my question to you, and this is the crux of, are you going to go down this road or are you going to go down this road? What are you making those facts mean? What are you making those facts mean about you? And I'd like to hear a few, give me three, what you're making that mean about you.
It feels sometimes like I don't have control, like I'm just blowing in the wind. I'm hoping and praying that someone will email me and say I'm looking for coaching when I'm like,
what else are you making? Yeah. So I have no control. What else are you making that mean about you as a person?
That I'm behind. Like, I feel like there should be other markers of like, this is where you should be at this point in your life, like whatever. So there's this feeling of I need to catch up. I'm behind. I don't know. I feel like I've always struggled with the idea of deserving the success. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to pay your dues instead of I have paid my dues. So yeah, it's this. If you're doing, if it's not hard, you're doing it wrong. Like you
struggle through this. Can't be easy. How could it be easy? So you have facts, and this is for everybody. I'm walking you through this. So you have facts of like, oh, I'm in a position of starting over again. I feel like I'm a cash flow tiger. I mean, I've made money at this, but now I'm just lying on the Serengeti just going, and I just, you know, I feel like I need to create some momentum that's just not there right now. Okay, facts. Then some of the things you're making that mean is I have no control or agency right now in my career. I'm behind in this aspect of my career and I still have dues to be paid. If it's too easy, it's not actually the right way. Now, what you don't want to do is just go, those aren't true. That's just bad thinking. I'm going to think positive affirmational thoughts. No, I mean, there's truth in there. You've built pyramids of truth for each of those. Oh, here's all the pieces of truth that I'm behind. What you haven't done is built pyramids of truth of why the opposite is also true. Not the opposite is the truth and this is the falsehood. No, no, no. It's all true. It's all true. But you haven't yet built the pyramid of proof about why you're not behind and why you have agency and how this can be easier than you think it's going to be. Cause you're thinking, oh my God, it's going to be so hard to make money, so hard. What if it's not? And the reason you need to spend some time building pyramids of proof. And what I mean is you take each of those three thoughts, I'm not behind, I have agency over this aspect of my career, and it could be easy to make money in this area of my career, and list 10 reasons why those are true. And the reason you need those pyramids of proof is because you have to then, every day, when your brain is running off to those old pyramids of proof, you go, no, I'm going to drag you. And now you're going to stare at these pyramids of proof. This is what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the fact that I have agency and I'm not behind, and that this could be easier than I think it is. And the brain's like, yeah, but what about, no, we're going to look at this. You have to keep your gaze on the pyramid of truth so that you have the energy and enthusiasm to send another email and pick up the phone. Now, it's important, I think, the reason we don't want to just go, oh, that's just bad thinking. I'm not in control. I don't have... The reason we don't want to negate that is because it makes the other pyramids of proof feel really, really true if they're just as true as this other stuff. When you go, the bad thinking's not true, then you drag your brain over to the good thinking and it's like, is this true either? If that's not true, this isn't true, nothing's true. Well, what if everything's true? If everything is true, the worse feeling stories and the better feeling stories, then it's a choice. Okay, they're both true. Which one do you want to look at? It just feels more real to your brain. Because I think if we just jump to affirmations, the brain is like, it just calls bullshit. It doesn't feel real. You haven't invested in the realness of it. I, knowing you, can very clearly see the pyramids of proof of why you do have agency and you're not behind, and this could be easier than you think. I can see those clearly, but that doesn't help you.
No,
you have to.
I feel like I can see those in other people, but more easily than myself.
It's definitely more. Look, I have to work on my own pyramids of proof right now. I'm trying to build something with an audience that I don't have right now. I'm trying to just build my audience to get people to pay me in a whole segment of business I've never entered into before. Nobody knows me over there. Nobody thinks I'm credible. They don't know me. So I get that feeling, and it is easier to see it in other people. The work is to be able to see it in ourselves. And then when we're having a hard time seeing it in ourselves, it's good to have a few people like you're doing right now to come to and go, oh yes, no, it's true. Those pyramids exist. See them. Yes. Don't worry. Like to get that, you know, thing. And if you're having a hard time with your lists of 10 for each of those, find somebody who you can be like brainstorming with of like, well, what do you see? What would you see? Like, what do you think? And you flesh out those lists. And I say 10, but even if you get 7 on each list, shoot for 10, because that gets more than 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I said make a list of 10 for each of the other bad ones, you'd be like, oh, simple. Woo! These are all the reasons, because you've thought about those. You just haven't thought about these. It's not that they don't exist, if you haven't thought about them. You haven't forced your brain to think about it. No. And I encourage you to write it on a piece of paper. And every time you get up in the morning, you read through that piece of paper. And when you go to bed at night, so you're not spinning in the bed thinking of all the bad feeling thoughts, you go, this is what I'm thinking about before I go to bed. How true these pyramids of proof are. That I have agency, this could be easier, and I'm not behind. And you read that piece of paper at night and in the morning until you don't really need to read it anymore. You kind of have it memorized. But I do that with stuff. When I'm trying to kind of integrate a new thought into me, I have these little cards and I keep them by my bed. And I'm like, I have one right now where I'm like reading it every morning. Reading it every night and just like, okay, this is where I want to keep my brain focused. And it's not affirmational. It's just, here are the reasons. here are some reasons, or it's a quote that I just want to keep in my mind, or it's a little letter I write myself of like me from the future, or, you know, just anything that just keeps me feeling like it's possible. That's just what I want. If you can move through your day more often than not, feeling like it's possible, that's what helps you take the action to create that.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's the best thing. You're very welcome. I adore you. And I want the best for you, Liz. And here's the great thing. I'll give you a piece right now. This feeling of like, oh my God, I feel like I'm starting over. Well, that means that you've been here before. You did it already. If you're starting over, it means, well, you've already done it. Done classes, had people pay you, had private clients, earned the money that qualifies you to be a cash flow tiger. It's like, yeah, you've already done this. This is not new territory. You're just not there yet again. And we all, the entrepreneurial life is about starting over. It's about pivoting. It's about going through a dip that's no fault of your own, just circumstances. Like, that's the ride. And that's the ride you signed up for when you said you wanted to be an artist. That's the ride. You either go on the roller coaster or you don't go on the roller coaster. And when it's a roller coaster, you're not doing it wrong. That's the ride. You're not doing anything wrong. You sitting here going, I feel really in a slumpy feeling right now. Yeah, yeah. We have all been there. That is part of the roller coaster ride. You go down so you can go up. You're sometimes upside down. Like, it's crazy. But our little souls were like, oh, this lifetime, I would like to ride the roller coaster. And we're like, oh, damn it. Why can't we be happy in a regular job? We're not those people, Liz. You and I are not those people. It's not those people. You're not doing anything wrong. The only wrong thing you could really do is just stay in this spin cycle of slumpadinka thoughts for the rest of your life. That would be bad. But starting up again, that's part of it. That's part of it. And your mindset, because when you start again, you will be stronger. You will go into a slump again. I guarantee it. But you'll be stronger in this, the future slump, than you are now. And when you get out of that one, you're going to be even stronger. And that's the game. Just getting stronger, getting better at pulling my brain back. And some people are wired where they need medication to help pull their brain back. You can't do it on your own or at certain times in your life. That's fine by any means necessary. Whatever needs to happen for you to pull your brain over here, do it. No shame. No shame. We're all wired differently. We all need certain things. I have the same conversations with people in my life. They're like, again? And I'm like, yes, again. I'm here again. I'm going over this territory again. My dear sweet sister, she'd just be like listening to me. It's like, oh, this one again. Yes. And you have to listen to it because you're my sister. So advise. Yeah. Again and again. Slightly different each time. I think she only listened to me again and again because she could see the growth a little bit, little baby steps, but lots of the same conversations. Every time I raised my prices, it was just drama. No one's gonna pay that. She's like, do it. And sometimes I would be raising my prices, but sometimes she would be like, it's time to raise your price. I'm like, no, it's not gonna work. We're all nuts, you know. Okay.
Okay.
The worst thing would be not starting over. Okay. You're starting over. Great. I was here before. I'll be there again. Let's do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. There are people out there who need you as a voice coach. You're an amazing voice coach.
There are people.
And you have to. What?
I think there are people. I just need to find the right people.
That's right. They're out there, but you have to be more concerned about them than about you. I'm denying them the opportunity to work with the person they're really well matched. It will be such a great experience for them because it will fit each other like a glove. And if I don't try to find them, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, I want to work with this particular, very particular type of caregiver. Ah, and I can rock their world. I can help them through one of the hardest things that they're going to face in their life. And it's like, I got to get up in the morning and do the work I have to do to try to reach them and suck them into my orbit, even though they don't even know I exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is how we serve as artists, as coaches. It's like, we're here to serve. So serve. Serve, don't wait. And if an opportunity comes along where it's like, I want this and I want that, and you're like, I don't like it. It doesn't feel good anymore. I'm not enthusiastic about it. Moving on. I'm going to go, you circle back to me when you want me, but I'll go out and get a higher profile and then you'll really want me. And then the terms are going to be bad for you. Okay.
Thank you.
Onward.
Awesome.
Onward. Now, this is our last creating cash flow for on Mondays. Starting in July, we're going to do Sundays, same time, first Sunday, third Sunday, first Sunday, third Sunday. That might change for July, but you can use, Liz, those check-ins. If you want to check in. I'll always be interested in like what's happening. So you just use that as part of your support as you gear up and start over.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Well, good questions for everyone. Karen, Eileen.
Yes, let me.
You are a multi-hyphenate hustler trying to consolidate the hustles.
Oh, my sweet Lord. Yes.
She is a multi-hyphenate on camera, on mic, voiceover, actor, coach, speaker, all the things. Cashflow Cat and Victories, you found a CVS Care Pass, which gives you an awesome coupon discount for a whole bonus thing. So
I posted it. It's you pay $48 and they give you back $120. So they basically give you $72 to do with whatever you want during the year. So
and then they make $200 selling your information. So everyone wins.
Doesn't bother me though, selling the information.
I was making a joke. Like,
no, but it doesn't bother me if that's what they're doing because they're giving me $72 and I need that right now.
So. Yeah. No, that was an excellent find, a good post. People can look at that in our Mighty Networks platform for Abundance Bound.
Yes.
So you applied for a job that you liked. What? It's the kind of job I think I would aim for, but it required relocation to another town and that immediately brought up resistance, blah, blah, blah. But blah, you blah. Applied for it.
I did.
Just cross each of the bridges when they come. That's
all right.
Also, first step, apply. You can always say no. This is fantastic. Yeah. And you don't know. Like, it's just like auditioning. So you go in for a role and you're like, I don't know. I don't think it's a good fit. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good fit. But then either they love you and write something for you, or they're like, oh, but what about this next episode we're working on? Like, you don't know what this company needs.
Okay.
And so they might go, oh, you know what? I hired somebody as an assistant when I wasn't even looking for an assistant because I was just like, we were talking for some other reason about how she could possibly be an assistant for another client of mine. But the more I talked to her, I'm like, I would be stupid not to have her also work for me because she was just ticking a lot of boxes that I didn't even know I actually needed until I talked to her. So you don't know.
Okay.
I'll get off my soapbox about that. So
no, good. It's good soapbox. Yeah.
So one of the things you were asking me or asking is you have a version of a resume that you'd like to go over. You're wondering if, you know, it's very long. You have all your things on it.
All of it.
Blah, blah, blah. And then okay, here's what I'd say about that.
Yeah.
Ramit Sethi, I don't know if you know about him.
I know, I'm starting to watch the thing on Netflix or whatever. Yes.
His video on resumes.
I haven't seen it yet.
He has a, yeah. So he has a video. If you go to his, it might be on his programs page. If you go to programs and then you go to Dream Job, that video might be posted on that sales page. It's a very long sales page, but it might be posted. But you could also go to YouTube, Ramit Sethi resume.
Got it.
But I just sent it to a client to watch.
Great.
But he breaks down because you have to make a resume for the actual job that you're applying for.
It's like, so, it and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was,
and he has a lot of great stuff on his blog.
Okay.
Yeah. So he has great stuff on his blog and he's shot a few really good videos that you can, they're out there, you can find them. So that would be the resource for that. Start there. And if after you absorb all his teaching around that and you want to then run something about it by me,
by you.
But he will, he has better strategies than I do. Because the one thing I'm not, I don't have the corporate experience.
Okay.
Like I have a lot of entrepreneurial experience and I know the basics about negotiation and stuff like that, but he'll have better like current thoughts. So then the second question you asked,
I have a teeny question there and I apologize because there's a little bit of a delay on my Zoom today. The internet's fussy. So for Indeed, am I there? Am I? Okay. On Indeed.
Yeah, you're here. We can totally hear you.
There's only room to create one resume. Like if you're gonna upload a resume, my understanding is you upload one. So if I'm applying for like producer jobs and then copywriter jobs and then maybe like admin jobs, that resume is going to be 10 pages long and confuse people. So I'm wondering what a tactic would be if I'm going to go through a website like that.
Okay. So this is where Google is your friend, because I am 100% sure people have written blog posts on like, what's the best, how do you approach the whole Indeed one resume?
Okay.
One universal resume. But what I would tell you is that if I were applying for a job through Indeed, I would try to find the contact for the company and then call the company and say, you know, who is the person who's monitoring, you know, or handling your job submissions, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I would see if I could just email them going, you know, I applied through Indeed, but because they only let you do one universal resume, I wanted to attach a photo of myself so you see that I'm a human and my resume that's more tailored to your, you know, you write a cover letter, you include your resume, include a picture.
Okay.
I would try, that's called going through like the back door or the side window.
Yeah.
It's like Indeed front door and everyone's in line knocking on the front door. You have to have to go through the back and the side, but Ramit will have a lot of good information about finding and that kind of stuff.
That's a great hack. Thank you.
Yeah. Like you just can't stop there. You just, it's like acting. I sent a postcard to the casting director. It's like, yes, you.
Why aren't I a series regular with them yet? Yes. Yeah.
They know you're alive.
Yeah.
But everyone else is doing that too. So what else are you going to do? Same principle.
Mm.
Okay. So you wrote, I could really use some help shifting the story, shifting some stories because I need a job and I don't want a job. And like we talked about last time, employers are going to sniff out that you don't want the job and blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
Because you have some letting, you want to let go of the magical thinking that a giant acting gig is right around the corner.
Next phone call, next email, could be, that whole thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my first question to you is, why are you learning QuickBooks? Because my guess is you don't want to learn QuickBooks. Who does? No one.
Nobody. And it's Quicken. I got it wrong. It's Quicken.
Whatever.
Elena. The reason is I'm working on my roadmap, and I did my first 6 months of data to get a forecast
right,
for what
no,
it.
Why are you, from the big picture perspective, why are you learning how to use this accounting software?
It's a trick question.
No, it's not. Really. But I don't mean because you're doing the roadmap and this is the next step, but why? How did you convince yourself to learn this piece of accounting software?
Safe to talk about this. Really, I've decided to trust people who are farther down the road than me on this journey, and that's you, and that's Miata. Uh-huh. And Miata said, I would highly recommend
right?
this.
But why are you trusting us? Why are you even engaged in this process and trusting us?
Oh, this is so big, Christine. Like, I need my whys. Like, I feel like my whys are fuzzy. So this is very good. Why am I do? Because I want to be, I mean, to distill it way down is because I want to feel better, and feel better involves being financially empowered. Uh-huh. That's the really distilled down version of it. I want to be consistently okay. financially empowered.
So why do you want to get a job?
I don't. I don't want to get a job, but I have to like yank that mindset out by the roots.
Well, how is a job linked to that same why of being financially empowered and a working artist?
Well, I guess that's the problem. It's not like I haven't made an authentic link. Because my everybody's situation is different, obviously, but my situation involves a pretty sizable amount of debt that I'm going to be paying off. So my story is, and this might be story and also practicality of the situation, is I'm going to be working for a while to vanish the debt, not to do anything else, tiny bit of savings. I mean, it's all going to be about vanishing the debt. And that, again, my mindset there is that feels horrible to me. So I'm going to go do something I don't want to do to get rid of this mess that I made, which is my mess. I got to clean it up. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at, I mean, when I look down the road at it, I mean, I heard very much what you were saying. I was on the call mm-hmm. to like, it could be easier. It could be fun. Like, I need a different set of things to believe because I can't figure out a way to link the job to something that feels good. It's not.
Liberation? Do you resonate with the feeling?
I do, but the thing I'm missing is in order to get the liberation, I'm going to have to suffer.
Yes. How else do we get liberation? Liberation and freedom are from something. You are liberated from something. You are free because you feel trapped, so you can gain freedom.
Yeah.
Yes, there is sometimes suffering, hard work. That's why it feels so good.
But the feel good is so radically delayed. Like, I'm not sure how to keep myself in one piece while I'm like, all right, I got to suck it up and prepare for a bunch of suffering for a while.
How you do that is you don't tell yourself that story. That is how you do it.
Okay.
You know, not to like take this to an extreme, but I'm just
do it because that I can hear the extreme.
What? Was Nelson Mandela telling himself for the 27 years that he was in prison with no assurance? It wasn't like he was definitely going to get out and then lead a country at the end of his sentence. He didn't know if he was going to get out, and he didn't know when he was going to get out. But he assumed there was a possibility, and he oriented himself towards that possibility, no matter how long it took.
Wow.
Now that's a giant example.
Yes.
But I just read this story about this 11-year-old, 9-year-old, 4-year-old, and 11-month-old, this family of four that were plane crashed over the Amazon all the adults on the plane died, not a huge plane, a small plane, but those four kids spent 40 days in the jungle. Now they were indigenous, but it wasn't like, I mean, they were, you know, but they were still alive after 40 days, and they wouldn't have been alive after 40 days. All four of them were alive, which meant the older 11 and whatever year old took care of the four and the 11 month old. What stories were they telling themselves? Help is coming. There's going to be an end to this. We just have to make it through the next day. Just one more day. Just like, it's the stories. And it's not that they're children who have the biggest imaginations. So it's not that they didn't feel scared, but they kept dragging their brain back to hope rather than to like, oh, we're going to get eaten by a python. Even when the older kids had to be strong for the younger kids and feed them stories. No, it's okay. And people are looking for it. They were feeding, which of course helped them feed themselves. But the little kids were probably telling themselves stories. And the older kids were also telling themselves stories, but then they had to just like push that down and be brave.
And the reason I love that story and the reason I love the extreme is it makes me for a moment say what I'm angsting about is ridiculous. Like, not to minimize it because it's a real thing in my life, but in comparison to the things that people have gone through, boohoo, poor me. I'm a privileged human who had a lot of credit card debt and used it up and made a mess. Hi. Yep. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Fix it. Yeah.
And a lot of people have gone on the journey and made through the exact journey you're going on. Like, exactly.
Yes.
I know you have different circumstances, but same basic shit.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And do you want to be strong?
I feel like I am strong. And
do you want to be stronger?
I mean, I feel like I need the strong to infiltrate all the parts of my life. So, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I love that you were like, I am strong. I'm like, connect with that.
Yes, I do know that.
Plugged in to that. And you have to be plugged into a why that is bigger than yourself. That's what I was saying to Liz at the end. It's like, it's really hard to keep dragging your brain back because your little lizard comes out and goes, what's the point?
What's the
point of all this?
It's just like, suffering, and that's all there is. Yeah,
it's bigger because Liz is an amazing voice coach, and she's just able to really like dig in and help people, you know. And just the way she teaches and passes on the information and encourages the person, like, I mean, people should be working with her and they'll love her when they find that she exists, you know, and they'll happily pay her money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if she concentrates on the people that need her, then it's a bigger why. Why do you need to get up in the morning? Because if you say, there's no reason, I'm going to go to my job and I'm going to feel shitty that I don't have clients.
Wow.
It's like, okay. I would also stay in bed then too. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you can connect to a why because you feel a purpose.
Okay.
But sometimes you can connect to a why because it's built into your life. Like, I know my father would want me to do, I'm not saying you, I'm just talking. Like,
I got you.
I know. Yeah. Person would want me to do this, or this person didn't have the chance to do this, so I'm gonna do it. Like, there's lots of different whys you can connect to, but it has to be bigger than you, because if we stay down here at the size that we're at, our little miserable you know, just wallowing in our shit, we all do that when we're down here in just our own little life looking at it. You have to expand it.
Can I ask a thought question here?
Yep.
So I didn't realize I was doing this, but like in some of my meditation, what came up was there's a part of me that feels like this is all very extreme, like some of it by necessity, because full stop until I figure out how to get the money to come in on lots of things. But the part of it that I didn't know I was doing was all creativity needs to really stop until I find the job. So everything needs to come to a halt. And I'm like, well, that doesn't feel right. And that doesn't sound right, except it's new for me to go, how am I, like, you know, I'm not going to get new headshots. I'm not going to hire anybody to help me with my reels. I'm not going to lay out any money. So anything I'm going to do, either I'm going to figure out how to do it or I'm going to delay it. I just need a more high vibrational way to look at that, because the story I'm telling feels pretty awful. Like, full stop on everything creative while you work on your money, and there's no end in sight. Like, we don't know when that's going to change.
Yeah.
It feels pretty
icky. Recipe for disaster.
Okay. It's a
recipe for disaster via rebellion.
Okay.
Rebellion. You rebel against that. If you cut out all the fun and say, I have to eat broccoli until I lose all this weight.
Oh, God.
Well, yo, I'm not going to lose that weight.
Okay, so what's, give me something in the gray area, because my brain is not helping me right now at all with anything in the middle.
Well, what is in the middle? What can you do? What are you doing creatively right now?
I'm doing things that feel yummy to me. Mm-hmm. I'm singing, I'm playing around with filters and videos, I'm dancing, I'm in acting class, which has allowed me to pay what I can afford, which is this, but they're okay with that. So I am doing those things, but I don't feel like I'm moving my acting career needle in any way at the moment. I'm doing creativity that feels good to me. And so maybe that's the thing that feels like it's full stop. And maybe it needs to be full stop temporarily, but I needed to bounce that off of you because I don't trust my brain with it right now.
Yeah. Okay. So there's stages.
Yes.
As far as your creative flame.
Okay.
So I'm going to mix a lot of metaphors right now.
Go for it.
Hang on to your seat, people.
Yeah.
sometimes you're in a phase where it is the phase for you to be in to move the needle forward. Every week.
Okay.
Liz is in a stage where it's like, okay, what are you going to do this week to move the needle? To move the needle.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're in stages where the victory is you kept the flame burning. You just kept it burning. You didn't go anywhere. You didn't, I guess the metaphor, you didn't move the candle, but you just kept the flame from going out.
No, that feels emotional. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of enjoyment that can happen when the flame is burning. Oh, look, it's really pretty. The candle smells nice. You're enjoying yourself. And then you're going to get to a phase where you can move the needle forward. But I would argue that you being in acting class means you're getting better as an actor. Why else are you there?
Yep.
Yeah. So you are moving the needle forward.
Okay.
When you re-enter the world of on-camera performance, you want to be better than when you left.
Correct.
Pretty fucking excellent when you left because you had already been on a series and stuff like, it's like, yeah, so just get stronger.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not, you're in a phase where it's about keeping the flame lit and just not backsliding.
Okay.
Maybe you're not moving forward, but at least you're not going backwards.
No, that's really helpful. You're really, really helpful.
Sharp, okay. You're keeping the thing and you're getting better.
Yeah.
So you aren't, I would say, Karen Eileen, you're not standing still. You're actually moving the needle forward. You're just not doing it in the way that you want to do it. But you have to just be like, this is it. This is my reality right now. And this is how I'm moving my needle forward. I'm in acting class. But you also have to tie everything in your life back to your creative career. If what you want to do more than anything, as I did when I was an actor, is act.
Yeah.
Everything I did, I linked it to my creative career. Doing the dishes.
Your copy job, whatever you were at a copy place.
Xerox job, like this is paying the rent. And that is, this is helping me as an actor. Everything. Once you start to link, I am doing QuickBooks and this is how it directly relates to me moving my acting career forward. I am doing this job, and that's how it directly relates. You're not linking. You need to link the stuff. Mm-hmm. Find a story. It's just a story that links everything. Sleeping, showering, everything is linked towards me getting better and moving forward as a performer.
Okay.
And that way, when you get up in the morning and do anything, anything you do is about you moving your career forward. That's how I always thought. Everything I did in my life, my relationships in my life, my job, everything was, I saw and I made a story about how it was moving me forward as an actor.
Okay.
And that's how I was keeping my flame alive.
Oof. I hear it.
Nelson Mandela wasn't a prisoner. Nelson Mandela was a person with a vision for his country who happened to be in prison. And that was his definition of himself.
Man.
And it wasn't constant. It went up and down and up and down. And he told himself stories and then he drug his brain back to what he wanted. I mean, he's human. He's not magic. He's human.
Yeah.
But it's like, sometimes it's not fun.
I'm, in a way, I'm glad. It's a mixed bag that I didn't understand when I chose the career as a performer. I didn't understand fully what I was signing up for in terms of the roller coaster. I don't think I would have done it. So I'm grateful to have this village now to give me the thing I didn't know I was missing. But it's a very challenging ticket to purchase.
Can you, you don't have to give me specifics, but I would like to know, like, what decade of life are you in? I don't know. Are we talking 40s?
Yes, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I would like you to start writing the story of your 50s.
Mm.
The Emmy you'll be nominated for. Like, what? Yeah. Okay. What are you doing all of this fucking work for in your 40s so that you can be this woman in your 50s instead of a natural disaster in your 50s? And there are a lot of 50-year-old humans whose lives are like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Because of choices and wiring and luck.
Yeah.
But do what you can do so that you're not a disaster in your 50s. And sometimes, speaking from experience, my 40s, I thought were going to be completely different, and they were not. I thought I would be having this was going to be the peak of my career. It's going to be where the arc of everything. Nope. Yeah. My 40s, I just barely maintained my business so I could care for my sister who then died. Yes. So it's like, oh, that was my 40s.
Wow.
That was not my plan. And it sucked for a great deal of it. And it was super hard. And I am the strongest I've ever been. Mm. And now I'm in my 50s. I'm 52. And it's like, okay, what am I going to be? What am I going to do with my 50s? Now is my chance to build what I wanted to build in my 40s. But I learned so much that has positioned me. And I'm so, so strong because I didn't flinch.
Very differently strong, right? So that if you had built it in your 40s, it would be a different thing than now. Okay.
Totally different. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Oh, that's interesting. Thing, okay.
But it's like, here you are.
Yeah.
Still alive on the planet.
I am. Yay.
Earth has rules. We need money. That's our currency. Like, okay, them's the rules of the planet.
All right.
So use your 40s. And then paint a picture, not of what you want to be doing at 50, but who you want to be. What is the texture of human that you want to be so that when you are 50, you will look back and go, God, I'm proud of myself right now. I'm so proud of myself.
Wow.
That's the bigger why. Why do I have to get a job? Because I want to be fucking proud of myself at 50.
Okay.
I want to use my 40s well. I want to be so strong that I can handle whatever life brings. That's what I'm really here as a coach to do. And no matter what thing I'm coaching, it's like, I want to help people gain the strength and the wisdom so they feel that they can handle whatever life brings.
Yeah, that would be huge.
Even if they don't know how to handle it, they just feel that, okay, I can do it.
Self-belief and self-confidence and all of that is like
that's
such a treasure.
That's what you're developing right now.
Well, that's nice. I'm going to write that down. That's a very good why, that.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you. Wow, really good. Thank you very much.
So all the gritty, shitty things you have to do, do them, but connect it, and it makes it easier to get through it.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. We have like 4 minutes. Does anyone have a burning question? Or are we complete for the day? Helen, hello. Love that picture with that hat. That is a hat.
Thank you. I have a quick victory that I wanted to share, and then I'll ask my question next week.
Okay.
But I just wanted to share that I have my first official client for my interior design side hustle. I've been working with her for the past couple of weeks, and I have to say, it took to say my price, which is lower than we had initially talked about, but for what this is, it makes sense. And it's a price that I don't feel resentful of.
Yes.
And I'm having a blast, and the like kind of surprise victory is that just being able to say the phrase, I have my first official client, has been like such a huge gift and shift. Like, it's such a shift in my head to be like, no, yeah, because I've been working with people for months, like friends are like doing stuff, and I'm doing all this shit for free. And just the fact that like, she's paying me a little bit of money, I'm like, no, I have a client, and she is my client. I was at the Rose Bowl flea market yesterday talking to a designer being like, oh, I'm looking for my client. And I was like, look at me, I'm talking about looking for my client. And like going to friends' birthday parties, and they're like, what's new? And I'm like, well, let me tell you about how I have my first official design client. And so that phrase has been like pouring out of my mouth, which is really exciting. And I'm finally understanding the benefits of like, I mean, I've been talking about it, but the phrasing has always been a little like, this is something I'm interested in, or it's something that I'm doing for myself. And like, I like helping people, you know, and now I'm like, no, I have a client, I have a price that now I'm not going to undercut myself for the next person. And I have my eyes on who might be next. And I'm like, nope. And that's going to be the price. So that's my,
oh my God. I'm so happy for you. You did it. This is what's amazing. You did that out of nothing. Yeah. That's out of thin air.
Yeah.
The first, it wasn't a full year, but the first kind of like couple months, in December, I earned as an organizer like $1,173. Now that's even then wasn't like life-changing money, but the amazing thing was like, I made that money out of nothing, just out of me going, I do this. You want me to do it for you? And they were like, I'll give you money. And I'm like, and if I can make that, I can make more out of nothing but my ideas and skills. And same thing with you. You created this, and no one had to give you permission to just go, I think I want to do this.
Yep.
And if you get one, you can get two. And if you can get two, you can get more. It's like, they're out there. Congratulations, Helen.
Thank you.
My day. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah. Next week I'll submit a question. I have a question about like testimonials and stuff, because my gears are turning about what I want to, aside from this huge benefit, like what do I want to walk away from this job with? So that's kind of my.
And I do talk about testimonials, I think, in the course, but come back and ask. How did you actually get her?
She's a friend. She's a friend that I know through the gym. I see her almost every day. And I just have been talking about stuff. I think honestly, posting more about my, you know, flea market hauls, or like I put up wallpaper in my place and like that kind of this idea of sustained visibility has really stuck with me, and allowing visibility to be, you know, post on the Instagram about the thing that I like to do. And then what's wild, the wallpaper thing, I would walk, because I go to the same gym every morning. It's like a kind of community gym. And everybody wanted to talk about the wallpaper because I like made it this like jokey journey, because it genuinely was like a nightmare because peel and stick wallpaper sucks. But everybody wanted to talk about it. So I've just been like talking about it with everybody, and it's stuff that I love to talk about. And then I'll say that she was like, oh, I need to, you know, redo my living room. We had bed bugs. We had to do a whole thing. She has two little kids. We're like redoing her living room. And there's like a deadline, which is helpful. And she was like, so I'd love your eyes on it. And I was like, the thing that was slightly different is I was like, I would love to help you. And also I have, she was like, what's your rate? Or no, I think I was like, I don't forget who mentioned money first, but at some point I was like, I have to charge you money kind of on principle. I don't know how much yet it is. Give me a minute to like get myself okay with that. And then I will give you the number. And she, you know, didn't have any issue with the number. She was like, yep, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And I've already been getting like, you know, she's a friend. So like we're texting back and forth. And this time I'm not annoyed about it. I'm like, happy to send you links, happy to do all of this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. She also has better boundaries in general as like a grown human instead of these dumb
then
boys.
You got, but what a gift for your first client. So you can, she can help you build. And it's like, okay, this is good because that's what you want. That's what you want from all your clients. It never has to be worse than this. Never.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's all, it's been so fun noticing like, what about this is working? Why is like, I think the deadline is kind of helpful because she has family coming into town. So it's not just kind of an amorphous thing. I think it helps that she's been living in chaos because of the bed bugs and redoing some stuff. Like, not that I'm kind of like prey on people, but like noticing little things like that. And noticing where I'm naturally wanting to put in more effort and where I'm like, oh, I don't think that's my thing, where she's naturally wanting to step up. Like, she's doing more than I thought she would. I thought I was going to have, like, I picked up something on Facebook Marketplace and she was like, oh my God, that's too much work. You don't have to do that. I'm like, yeah, but they're close to me and I found the right lamp and you have to hustle on these things. I'll do it. But in the future, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not the one doing the Facebook Marketplace runs for the next person, but okay, for her, it's fine. And she's doing it's yeah.
Yeah.
So
you can always say to your client, I do Facebook runs for clients. I do it at this reduced rate of like $20 an hour. So I'm just picking something up, or you can do it. Let them have the choice. And then you either get paid to do it.
Right.
And
well, she threw me extra gas money. Yeah.
She's awesome. Yeah. Also though, when you want, you feel inspired to do a little above and beyond, that's when you can throw in a free run. Like, I don't think it's bad that you did it for free. There's options you can, and you get to play it the way it's feeling for you with clients. Like, I would sometimes I'll take all this stuff to a thrift store for you, but sometimes I wouldn't. Right. I'd be like, okay, have the truck come and get it. Like,
right.
So I'm so happy for you. I want to say two things. The first thing is something you can also post to kind of remind people of, which people don't always naturally think of, but when they've had some tumult, and that's a good word to use, like a tumultuous situation in their home, a leak, bed bugs, whatever, family coming to just like chaos. That's a great time to reset and refresh. Don't just business as usual through that. A move is an obvious example. Like, you don't have to set up your new house just like your old house. If a roommate moves out, it's a chance to take what you're saying to this, take advantage. Mm-hmm. Whether you're hiring someone to do it or not, just take advantage of these natural little resets in your life to refresh.
Yeah.
So that's a great message. The other thing about wallpaper, first of all, wallpaper, everyone, like most people are intrigued by it. Like, ooh, pretty. It's very intimidating. And then people are like, it's a big commitment. Oh, I need to make sure I'm putting the right thing on a giant wall, even if it's just one wall. Wallpaper is great because for it is what I would turn definitely to a helper with it, because I wouldn't know. But wallpaper is intriguing to a lot of people. They secretly wish they had it on a wall or two, and they are so intimidated, whether it's peel or stick or regular. So that's a good, you know, every once in a while posting about that, I think it is going to be a good discussion point.
And I had it also, I'll say real quick that I was, when I was doing that, I was playing with posting to stories in the week that I was doing it. And I made a whole joke about it, about how it was like a fight. And I was like putting it over the Rocky theme song. And I was like, then posting videos of me at the gym, like training for the fight. and then like, I turned all of that, because I was shooting footage the whole time, I turned all of that into a reel. And so I'm like noticing the difference between like, oh, this can go to stories, and this is, and it's fun to me to like figure out that stuff. So I have other ideas. I'm gonna do them. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Absolutely. You. All right, guys. I'll see you next week if you need it.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Christine.
You're welcome.
Thank you.